Boker Tov, everybody. My apologies if we accidentally kicked everybody off after Rabbi Helfgott-Shir made you re-sign in, but nice to see everybody as we continue with our series. Rabbi Liebtag, as you heard, he's visiting his son who just moved a couple of days ago in a new yeshuv, so that's why he's outdoors. But I think it's beautiful, the outdoors teaching Torah. I see the kids running around in the background, so it's a pleasure. We'll learn Sefer Dvarim, Ki Mitzion Teitzei Torah, anywhere in Israel, outside. Well, outside here it's like 90 degrees.
I think we're south of Eretz Canaan, but we're still in Eretz Israel. You know,
okay, happy to hear that. Okay, Bakasha Rabbi.
Okay, so let me share my screen. And today actually is one of the funnest topics of the year. I try to pick the topics to fit the Parshat Shavua. And we could pick this one almost any week. But in Parshat Ki Tetzeh, we're going to have a ceremony on Har Ebal, where they're commanded to write down the Torah and make a big ceremony, which we're going to read very soon. But the overall topic here is, what does the word Torah mean in the Torah? Or if I want to pronounce it properly, the word Torah in the Torah. Now, we have a beautiful custom. I'll read my introduction, which I wrote a little while ago. Today's class, we're going to turn to overall structure of Sefer Devarim, like we've done this 100 times. And we're going to show, if you follow the usage of the word Torah, in Sefer Devarim, which has a special meaning in Sefer Devarim, that the main goal of this year is to show you what the word Torah means in Devarim, how it's different from what it means in the other books of Chumash, how it's very different to what most people think it means, but why, at the end of the day, the fact that we call the entire Torah, Torah, is very meaningful. Now, in the Yeshiva world, if you learn Chumash, it's Bitul Torah, isn't it? Now, the word Torah has superseded the Torah, and I'll try to explain where it came from. I think one of the reasons is our beautiful custom when we do Hagbah in Shul, right? When they rip up the Sefer Torah, what verse does everyone say? V'zot HaTorah Asher Sam Moshe. We know that's in the Siddur. Most people don't realize it's a verse in Chumash. And it's a verse in Chumash. It is not talking about the 5 books of Moses. But it's talking about, what I'll prove to you in a minute, it's talking about the main speech in Sefer Devarim, which has been our biggest topic. But what I need to do first in this year is show you, simply trace the word Torah in Sefer Devarim to prove, I want to prove the key point in the beginning. The word Torah in Sefer Devarim, I think I'll prove it 99.9%. Someone might want to argue, but you'll see my proofs. I think it's quite clear. The word Torah in Sefer Devarim is referring primarily to the main speech of laws that Moshe is giving in the between chapters 5 and 26, that begin with the Ten Commandments and go through, that we've been talking about almost every single year in our series. What's the best proof? I want to begin with the pasuk that we all read, the famous V'zot HaTorah. That's in the end of chapter 4. I'm sharing my screen. For some reason, I'm not sharing my screen. I'm sharing the wrong screen. That's my problem.
You were sharing your screen.
No, I was sharing my Word file, not my PDF file. There we go. That's better. That should be much better now, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, and now Now we can page down. The word Torah and Sefer Devarim. We're going to begin at the end of chapter 4. The famous line that we all read, which interesting, when Shul, or in the Siddur, we read half a pasuk. We read more than this pasuk. V'zot HaTorah Asher Sam Moshe Lifnei Bnei Yisrael is not followed in Devarim Api Hashem Biyad Moshe. That's a quote of a different pasuk about the Masod, about how they traveled. But what's coming up, I want to show you now that this is referring to the speech. Why? Again, let's read it. What's coming up, it's introducing, it's not a summary of the previous section, but it's going forward. What's coming up is the Torah that Moshe taught in front of Bnei Israel. And what does it include? It includes the Edot, which probably means the warnings or the admonitions, and the Chukim and Mishpatim that we've talked about over and over again, that Moshe told Bnei Israel when they left Egypt. That was 40 years ago. We'll read a little more. And then the speech begins in chapter 5, where Moshe calls Israel together and says, listen to these Chukim and Mishpatim, which he's referring to here. Let me highlight these two real fast. Listen to these Chukim and Mishpatim. At the end of chapter 4, and Moshe begins his speech and tells Israel, listen to these Chukim and Mishpatim that I'm teaching you today, part of a brit God made with you in Sinai. And when the speech is over, remember the speech went to chapter 26, the last 4 lines of the speech, What's God say to this day? Hayom hazeh, Hashem Elokecha mitzavcha lasot et hachukim elep et hamishpatim, and do them with all your heart and all your soul. We've seen those psukim again many times. Let's highlight that. And you see chukim and mishpatim over and over again. That's going to be that ties them all together. The Torah is the chukim mishpatim coming up. Moshe begins his speech. These are the chukim mishpatim I'm teaching you. When the speech is over, remember how speeches go? Say what you're going to say, say what you said. It all matches perfectly. Therefore, the Torah is introducing the main speech. Simple as could be. The icing on the cake is chapter 27, which is Parshat Shavua, second Aliyah, chapter 27. Moshe commands the elders of Israel, Moshe and the elders of Israel command the people saying, keep this mitzvah I'm giving you today. And when you come to the land of Israel and cross the Jordan River, put up big stones on Harival. After Moshe gives the speech, he tells the people, I just taught you the speech. I'm passing on, but when you pass over and enter the land of Israel and begin your conquest, have a national gathering in Har Eival, and on Har Eival, erect giant stones, write on these stones the words of this Torah, and then now we write on these stones the words of this Torah, also teach it very thin. And we'll see, we're going to go this in detail very soon. Then, that's for the first generation as they conquered the land. Then, once things are set up, the very final law of the Torah, of Sefer Dvarim, about the Torah, is the Mitzvah of Hakel in chapter 31. Moshe tells the people every 7 years, remember at the end of the Shemitah cycle, gather the nation together, all the women and children, relive Mamad Har Sinai. And what do? Read this Torah together and to learn to keep this entire Torah. We'll do this tzukim again in detail so the children who didn't hear them will learn them again. So take this Torah and teach it to the people every 7 years. So therefore, we're going to continue these laws. And therefore, these laws of Sefer Dvarim, which we explained, which are the core set of laws that come with the Ten Commandments, we find they're referred to as the Torah before the speech begins, during the speech, and even later in the middle of the speech. Remember the mitzvah of the king who's going to lead the nation. He's the CEO. What's the job of the king? When the king's sitting on his throne, what does he need to do? He has to write it down on the book, and it'll be with him, and he'll read it to make sure that he learns to fear God and keeps these laws, to keep all the words of this Torah. Remember, the words of this Torah, these laws are laws for a nation. Laws about going to war, about a judicial system, our national center, our economic system, all the things we talked about over and over again, Supreme Court, social justice, cities of refuge. Who's in charge to make sure that this is done? Who's in charge of making sure the nation builds a temple? The king. The king can't run the temple, but he has to make sure it's built and run by other people. He's in charge to make sure there's cities of refuge. He's in charge to make sure there'll be a Supreme Court. He has to answer to that Supreme Court, but we have this division of power. But the king is the CEO of the system. Therefore, it's not a technical law that the king has to write a Sefer Torah like and hold it with him as a magic charm, but rather it's his guidebook to lead the nation. And that's why God tells Yeshua in the beginning of Sefer Yeshua, remember? So what do you got? To keep this Torah, Vigita Yomim V'layla, that's in the opening chapter of Yeshua. The first thing that God tells Yeshua is not just to conquer the land, but make sure to keep this Torah with you. We'll see those tzukim very, very soon. So that's the introduction. And now I want to sit and prove it nice and simple. One last thing I want to mention is that in the very beginning of the first speech, remember the first four chapters is the introductory speech. The narrator of Chumash, the first five tzukim of chapter one, Sefer Dvarim, the last line of the narrator of Chumash, who introduces the first speech, says, "Be'evar Yarden Be'eretz Moav, and Be'evar Yarden in the land of Moav, Ho'il Moshe." Moshe began to explain the Torah with the following speech. Notice, the first speech is not explaining the Torah. The first speech is preceding his explanation of the Torah. Remember, we saw how the first speech was introduction to the main speech, and therefore, in the very first speech, it's introduced in the same way that Moshe began explaining the Torah with his introductory speech. Why it's been 40 years since we got these laws, but haven't kept them yet. We'll do the Ramban at the end of this. Sure, if we have time, we'll do the Ramban, which we're going to skip for now. So now what I want to do, I'm going to do a different share now. I want to show you in a regular Tanakh to make sure you see all these connections, to make sure it's crystal clear. I'm going to open up a Sefer Devarim again, just the Hebrew one. And let's go back to Sefer Devarim, move your pictures over, and hope it's nice and clear. Okay. So I want to begin with Sefer Devarim Perek Aleph. Just a quick review. Remember, these are things that Moshe taught Bnei Yisrael, the first line of the book. And these laws were first taught on the 11-day journey, many times, but on the 11-day journey from Har Sinai to Kadesh Barnea, they were taught because that was how the first generation was ready to go in. And now in the 40th year, it's time to teach them again. And then the last line, Be'ever Yadim Be'eretz Moab, Moshe began to explain the Torah with his first speech. Remember, that was in, that's a narrator in third person about Moshe. Moshe began to explain the Torah. And Moshe, in Pasuk Vav, speaks in his own, in first person, Hashem Elokeinu Diber Eleinu B'chorev Lemor, Rabbi Nachum Shevet. And Moshe talks to people directly, and it's first person until the end of chapter 4. So that was the first page of chapter 4. Just look in chapter 4, the last section of the introductory speech. Remember what Moshe says? Bata Yisrael, listen to these chukim and mishpatim that I'm teaching you. We saw them many times. Right? And make sure to keep them. Don't add them, don't take off of them. We spent a lot of time in chapter 4. That's the final introduction to the speech. And the speech ended in verse 40. Keep the laws so God will be good for you. And so you live for a long time in the land, which God's giving you. Quotation mark right here. The speech that began in chapter 1, verse 6, ends right here. Now, in verse 41 in the end of chapter 4, Moshe takes an interlude between speeches. And the narrator of Chumash tells us what happened in the meantime. Moshe divided, set aside the three cities of refuge on the other side of the Jordan. Why Moshe does that and why it's recorded, not our topic for today. That's a standalone. And now, Pasuk Mem Daled, the end of, take a look how it's the end of the chapter. Pasuk Mem Daled starts, what's coming up now is the Torah that Moshe taught Bnei Israel. It includes, they don't chukim shpatim, that Moshe first taught them when they left Egypt in the first year. And now, an Ever Yarden in the 40th year, after they defeated Sihon and Og, etc., then he's teaching him one last time. That's the end of chapter 4. And now in chapter 5, the speech finally began with Moshe calls Israel together and tells them, the speech began right here. Remember, Shema Yisrael to King Shpatim. These laws are part of a brit. We saw many times. It was only between you and your forefathers. It was you as well. The Ten Commandments in the story that we saw many times where God told Moshe Rabbeinu, tell the people, stay where you are, go tell them, Shuvah Lechem Lo Lechem, and you stay here with me, and I'll teach you the Chukim and Mishpatim. I'll teach you the Chukim and Mishpatim that you are teaching, teaching them. Okay? And then in chapter 6, what happens? Where's chapter 6? 1 second. What's coming up in the speech, again, are the Chukim and Mishpatim. Remember? So you fear God, and finally, Shema Yisrael. Opening line, and then, but you had Brahma Ela. Remember, we did all these Chukim over and over again. These things I'm teaching today, Mishnatam Levanecha, teach them to your children, or teach them over and over again, repeat them, and then all the laws relating to the land. The Mitzvah section, Kumshpatim section. In the middle, we saw, so this was all introduced by Zot HaTorah, and ends with chapter 27. In the middle, we have the Mitzvah of the King. Have to write that, and that's going to be his guide. Now what we're going to do is, let me just show you the psukim in the beginning of Sefer Yeshua, as long as I have my Tanakh open. Yeshua is going to be, has the status of a king. When he's giving his command, and God tells Moshe, Yeshua, Moshe Eved Hashem died, you have to take over, you go and cross the Jordan River, wherever you go, I'll be there with you, don't want to be in your way. And then, what's the final condition? Rachazak ve'amatz, be strong. Keep lishmor lasod et kol haTorah asher tzivcha Moshe avdi. Keep the Torah, which is Sefer Devarim, which Moshe, my servant, taught you. Don't go right now. Lo yemush there. Lo yemush Sefer haTorah zeh mipicha. Begita ba'yomam ba'layla. The famous pasuk which we learn about study, Torah study from. but Yeshua's guide to conquering the land, how to conquer the land, and what to do once he conquers the land, settling the land, that's all in the Sefer Torah, which are the laws of Sefer Dvarim. Yes, that's Sefer Torah. So therefore, the end of the beginning of Yeshua beautifully continues the end of Sefer Dvarim. So that was the background. Now we're going to read in detail Parshat Shavua, Perek Chaf Zayin. Let's go back and stop the share. And if you want, you can follow with your Chumash. We're going to open up now Perek Chaf Zayin in Sefer Dvarim. Okay. As we read this, actually, before we read this, Before we read this, I want to go back to Sefer Shmot, Perek Chaf Daled. We're going to go to the Sefer Shmot. I'll do an English Hebrew Tanakh to make life easier for you guys. In Perek Chaf Daled. There we go. Sefer Dvarim. I'm sorry, Sefer Shmot, my mistake. I want to show you how the story of Har Sinai in Sefer Shmot is so similar to what's going to happen in Har Ebal. There's a new generation is going to have to repeat the event that happened in Har Sinai. Later, in the next 2 weeks, in one of our shiurim, we're going to see whether or not this gathering in Har Ebal would have been necessary, even had it not been a new generation. Yeah. I'll begin with Pasuk Gimel. Vayavo Moshe, vayaseper la'am et kol divrei Hashem et kol ha'mishpatim. Moshe comes down from Har Sinai, tells the people all the words of God and the laws, and all the people answered and said everything that God said. Pasuk Abdalim. We'll see all these, everything will be parallel now. Vayichtov Moshe et kol divrei Hashem. Moshe wrote down all the words of God. Vayashkem baboker, he got up in the morning. He built an altar at the bottom of the mountain and 12 monuments, right? Corresponding to the 12 tribes. He sends the young people of Israel. They bring sacrifices. Olot, vayizbechu shlamim, svachim shlamim lashem parim. We have a big sacrifice. Olot and shlamim, which means it's a barbecue. Everyone's eating, but they're korbanot. And then we have a ceremony. Vayikach Moshe chatzi adam v'yasem baganot. He puts big containers with the blood. Half of it he puts on the mizbeach. And here's the big line, you know, 24/7. Vayikach sefer abrit. Vayikra bo sne ha'am. Vayimru ko asher dibe Hashem naseh v'nishma. Moshe sefer abrit reads it out loud. The people accept it. Vayikach Moshe adam v'yisrok alam. Moshe sprinkles the blood on the people. It says this blood symbolizes the brit that God made between. See this pasuk, he made dam habrit asher karta Hashem imachem al kol dvarim ha'ila. And then Moshe, afterwards, Moshe, Aaron, and Aviv go up, and they have this vision of God. That's already a separate topic. And then God tells Moshe afterwards, come up the mountain, and be with me, and I'll give you the luchot ha'evan, and the Torah and the mitzvah asher katapti lorotam, and I give you an earlier share and try to show you that this is the Torah, these are the laws of Sefer Dvarim that Moshe goes up to get. That's not critical for today's share, but just keep that in mind. If we have time, we'll see the Ramban on this. The Ramban on this pasuk is going to say this is referring to the speech in Sefer Dvarim as well. Now, what do we have? At Har Sinai, be it before we get to Torah, after we get the Ten Commandments, that's Machloket Rashi Ramban. The important thing is at Har Sinai, the nation gathers together on a mountain, enters a covenant with God. In that covenant, they write down the words of God. They accept it, and they have a big sacrifice. It's a big learnathon and a big ceremony. So in light of that, let's see this commandment in Sefer Dvarim, in chapter 27. Remember, the speech ended in the end of chapter 26, and now this is the first commandment after the speech is over. The narrator is back for a couple lines. And this is what he says. Pay attention to Pasuk Aleph. There's something that people don't pay attention to, but this is really important. In Pasuk Aleph. Vaitzav Moshe v'ziknei Yisrael ta'am limor. I'll take a break for a minute. What's different about this than any other Pasuk we've had till now? About this commandment. I'm highlighting it, but I want you to make sure you notice it.
Zikanim.
Someone, what?
Including the Zikanim.
Right there. What are they doing there?
But in what way are they there?
They're the commanders.
Ah, exactly. Usually Moshe commands the people, right? By Dabar Moshe, by Sab Moshe, Am Lemor. Who's commanding the people? Moshe and the elders are commanding the people. Who can tell me why?
Because Moshe's not going to be there anymore.
To do what?
To be commander. And the Zakenim are going to have to be the ones who are going to lead the people.
That's right. This is the beginning of transition.
This is
the new
transition.
Generation.
Right.
Now, before we forget, notice this is Moshe and the elders of Israel commanding the people about doing this ceremony. If you fast forward to verse 9, what do we find? Oh, wait a second. We have it. Yeah, verse 9. Vayedaber Moshe ba'akohanim ba'levim kol Yisrael le'amor. See that? I'm sure you never noticed that. In Pasuk Tet, now Moshe and the Kohanim Levim are commanding a different commandment. In other words, Moshe's leadership is going to go in two directions. The Kohanim HaLevim are going to be in charge of educational leadership. They're going to be carrying the Torah and the technical sides. You know, they'll be carrying the, their job is to be teaching the Torah. Leading the nation will be the Zkenim. We'll see how Yeshua is going to fit into this in a minute. But keep that in mind. But this, now he's a speech over. Here's the commandment that Moshe and the elders are going to command the people. Because the elders have to do this. Okay. So what's he say? Shmor et kol ha-mitzvah asher nochi mitzavet cham hayom. What mitzvah is this? Now, not the mitzvah of the main speech, but this is the upcoming commandment. Let's keep this coming commandment. What's the commandment? Vayah b'yom asher tabru at ha-yarden. It doesn't mean on the very same day. That's a machloket chazal, but in shat, said for Yeshua for sure. Not on the day, but at the time when you cross the Jordan River, that God's giving you. Vakimot ha-avanim dolot v'satam v'sid. But as erect big stones and plaster them. You're going to plaster them so you can write on them. It was the idea we have to make this big monument. Have you ever been in any national memorial, like the Vietnam War Memorial, or that's probably you guys are Canadians. I'm sure there's memorials that have big walls in Yad Vashem, they have in Kfar Zion. You want to write a lot of words. You want to write people's names. You want to write something down that's important. You have to write it in stone. That's going to last for a long time. So erect giant stones. What are we going to write on these stones? Let's read carefully now. B'katavta alehem et kol divrei ha-Torah zot v'avrecha. As you're crossing the Jordan River, as you begin your conquest. Now remember, Har Ebal is in the middle of the mountain range. They don't conquer that the first day. It's going to take a long time till they get to the area of Har Ebal. They have to take conquer Yericho and Ai. When they do this, it happens in Yeshua Perchet, in Yeshua chapter 8, after the story of Yericho and the Ai. It's probably also happening in chapter 24. But what's important now for today's share is there's a commandment to write on these big stones at Divrei HaTorah Zot Vavrecha. This speech that just ended in chapter 26 was introduced in the end of chapter 4 with the Vizot HaTorah Shir Sam Moshe. When it's over, what are we told? At Divrei HaTorah Zot. This Zot HaTorah that the narrator introduced beforehand, that's what Moshe is commanding the people now to write on these big stones on Har Ebal. Why? In order that you'll be able to come to the land which God's giving you, as God promised you. Remember, the conquest of the land is contingent on people keeping the mitzvot and wanting to keep the mitzvot and having the right attitude. So to make sure that the conquest of the land will be completed properly and they'll be worthy of God's help in completing the conquest and settling the land, they have to make sure that they gather together and commit themselves to keep this Torah. Now, they made this commitment 40 years ago at Har Sinai. And now in the land of Israel, they're going to make a similar commitment on a different mountain on Har Ebal. Now, if you've been to Har Gerizim and Har Ebal in the area of Shechem, Har Ebal is different than the mountains around it because it's relatively barren. Remember, compared to Har Gerizim is full of trees, Har Ebal, that's why the curse is on Har Ebal and the blessing is on Har Gerizim. Again, we're not in the desert, but we're in a mountain in the land of Israel, which is most similar to the desert. Okay. Now, if we have time, maybe I'll dedicate another share to, they found this, despite most, almost for sure, they found the exact site where this took place. There's a lot of articles on it, but it's one of the most amazing finds from the 1980s. It's archaeologist Adam Zartal searching the area for archaeological remains after the Yom Kippur War, in the late 70s, found a site that, and identified it as Yoshua's Mizbech and Har Ebal. Okay. Then, Vayah b'Avrechem et ha-Yarden. When you cross the Jordan River, where are you going to do this commandment? Put them in Mount Eval, in the center of the country. Now, it could be, there's multiple reasons why to do it in Har Eval. For sure, Har Eval is near Shechem. It didn't say Shechem, but it's clear to everyone that Har Eval is right next to Shechem. We know that from archaeology. We know that from Sukkim later on. When Avram first entered the land, where did he go to first? In Parshat Lech Lecha, first he went to Shechem. And he built the Mizbech in Shechem, didn't he? And then from there, he went to Beit El and built the Mizbech. Yaakov Avinu, when he came back from Lavan, also crossed the Yabok, came up what's called Nachon Tirza, and his first stop is in Shechem. What happened in Shechem, we all know. He had some trouble there, but he also built the Mizbech in a very different circumstance. But both Avram Avinu and Yaakov Avinu, as they enter the land of Israel, enter from Shechem. It's interesting that this mitzvah and both Avram and Yaakov build mizbechot in Shechem. So here we have a commandment to set up stones and make a covenant, we'll see, in Har Eval. And now here's the best parallel. Ufanit Hashem mizbech l'Hashem Elokecha, build there an altar to Hashem your God. Mizbech avanim lo teit lem barzel, mizbech avanim like in Parshat Mishpatim. Avanim shlemot, build just like Parshat Mishpatim said. And here's the final parallel. You bring olot and shlamim. So this idea of olot and shlamim, just like again on Har Sinai. Now we don't have the ceremony of Nesev and Nishma. We don't have the sprinkling of the blood. Why we don't? There's a beautiful Ramban on it. We won't have time to do it today. There's enough parallels to show that this is a similar ceremony where all the other parallels there as well are they were not necessary. That's a discussion that the commentators talk about. And now the final line, which makes it to Mishnah Berurah. V'ketavta al avanim, what do you write on these stones? Et kol divrei ha-Torah hazot be'eritev. With good explanation, Chazal say 70 languages, which means basically write it in a way or explain it in a way that everyone will understand. Basically, it's a massive learn-a-thon as we come into the land. We do it once as we cross into the land of Israel and start our conquest of the land. And we're going to do it afterwards every 7 years, but not in Har Eval, but from Makom HaShev Har Hashem, as we'll see in chapter 31, in the Mitzvah of Hakel. Now, what are we writing on these stones? Again, the laws that came with the Ten Commandments, remember, and all the laws of Sefer Devarim. I don't think it includes the rebuke that Moshe added, but remember we explained many times that the core set of laws, remember Shema Yisrael, Avtat Hashem Elokecha, Vayim Shemoa, Vayekev Tishmon, how the land of Israel is special, all those things that we saw that would have been meaningful 40 years ago as well. I don't think it includes Moshe's rebuke about remember how bad you were with, remember in chapter 9 about rebuking them about how bad they were with the sin of the golden calf and with the sin of the spies and all that. But rather, the Amish has to keep to love God, fear God, and to establish the nation the right way. Now, again, that's one commandment. And the next commandment is going back to the theme of Har Sinai. Moshe and the Kohanim and Levim were in charge of teaching the Torah, tell Israel, wake up Israel, have speech with Shema Yisrael. See that phrase again? How speech began with Shema Yisrael over and over again. Hayom Hazeh, this day, remember? I'll go back to this word Hayom Hazeh in a minute. You become a nation, Hashem Elokecha. Remember, Vatem Tuli, Mamechet Koni Bukhe Kadosh, Vatem Tuli La'am, Vanuchi Yadachem Elohim, all the key phrases of the Brit. Now that you've accepted this Brit, now you become a nation. But make sure to listen to the verse of God, all the things commanding you. And then finally, what happens? Then Moshe commands, Moshe himself commands the people, saying, Drive the tribes when you come to the land of Israel and have the ceremony to bless the people and curse the people. Half the nation's going to stand up. I mean, Yosef and Benjamin. Another six opposite Har Eval. And then Banu Halavim Bamru, Koshir Diber Hashem. I mean, at Kosh Ishis Koram, the famous Rechot and Klolot. Notice the Levim are the ones we talked about this last week. Who's teaching the Torah? Who's blessing the people? Remember, Shevet Levi was separated. To bless the people, we explained last week how they bless the people, not just by Birkat Kohanim, but by teaching them the law so that God can bless them. By teaching the people Torah, that puts God's name on the people, and God will bless the people if they keep all the laws. That was last week's topic. So we see in the end of Parshat, and when the speech is over, we have this idea again of the word Torah referring to all the laws of the speech. Now, I want to go back to this phrase, Moshe and the Kohanim, telling the people, today you become a nation. Let's go back to the final lines of the speech, the end of chapter 26, that we've seen so many times, and see why this is such a meaningful line at the end. We're going to open up Sefer Devarim, the end of chapter 26. We'll do the English and Hebrew. Verse 16. Remember he said, Hayom hazeh neitei la'am? Listen to the last line of the speech. Hayom hazeh, here we go again. This day. Even though Moshe is teaching the laws, whose laws are they? Hashem Elokecha metzavcha lasot et hachim eleh. Remember? Remember, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Hashem Elokeim kratim on rebit b'chorev. Hashem, your God, is commanding you. Not me. I'm just his middleman. Okay? And make sure to keep them b'chol levav ha'ucho nafshecha. Then we talked about Brit Sinai. You took upon yourself the what? L'yot l'cha l'Elohim. He'll be your God. You'll follow his ways. Remember? The ways of God doing mishpat and staka. Keeping all his chukim and mitzvot and mishpatim. And lishmo b'kolo. Remember mishmo tishmo b'koli. What did God take upon himself? Hashem rechayom l'ot l'olam skula. Kasher yiberlach. Remember? Hayom hazen yit l'olam l'Hashem elokecha. That you make his treasured nation. And put you in a leadership position above the nations for God's tilah shem utifer, for God's glory, renown, and praise. And uliotcha am kadosh l'Hashem elokecha kasher diber. Keeping these laws will make you an am kadosh. Remember? What was the job of the Kohanim? Tell them, Hayom hazeh, this day, God made you this am kadosh. He made you an am kadosh if you keep them. What's that mean? Kedusha, we talked about many times. Is God separating a nation for a purpose? Just like God separated one day of the week, and that day emanates and has an effect on all the days of the week, God separates one nation, gives them a special set of laws, a mamlechet kohanim, and if Am Yisrael keeps the laws properly, that will have an effect on all the other nations as well. Therefore, if you keep these laws, that will make you a nation separated in the service of God. And therefore, after Moshe commands them, Moshe and the elders, after they have the commandment to write down the Torah, back in Parakhav Zayin, Pasuk Tet, Moshe and the Kohanim Levim are going to be teaching Torah. Tell the people, make sure, Hashkei Tishma Yisrael, that was the whole idea of the speech, Hayom Hazeh, remember the last line of the speech, this day, Niyete La'am, L'Hashem Elokecha. On what condition? You keep his mitzvot, V'shamata B'kol Hashem Elokecha, V'tzid mitzvotav Chukav. That's the core commandment, that's the core commitment that Am Yisrael has to make. And then, to top it off, we have the blessings and the curses of Parashat Ki Tavo. Let me take a quick break and look at the chat. And we'll see if there's any questions. Let's go up. Okay. Sounds good. Last week, I got a message. Okay. What's it called? I'm not sure what that means. Okay. Vizot. It may be pre-programmed from shul, but vizot sounds like something tangible is being pointed out or shown. Okay, that's the minhag. There's nothing wrong with having that custom in shul. The custom in shul pointing to Torah, we say vizot ha-Torah, is nice, but includes the Torah. I have to explain now why that's the next part of the share. Why is it that we use that word for dafka the laws and sefer dvarim? In other words, our custom in shul is right on the mark. But I want to explain why that custom is so meaningful, even though it's not shot of the pasuk. Okay. Let's see. I've had the restart of chapter 27, the narrator. No, the narrator of Chumash is a Kodesh Baruch Hu, of course. Okay. In other words, in Chumash, there's an omniscient narrator. We attribute that to God, but the way Chumash is written, there's an omniscient narrator who's introducing Moshe Rabbeinu giving a speech. Now, okay, Moshe Naylor's command, you got that answer right, that's fine. And then from Naomi, okay? Moshe and the elder's command, but in verse 2 it says, observe the commands which I'm giving you today. Okay, so yeah, this Moshe, when Moshe says, I'm doing it, is referring to God or himself. I'll give you an example. When you say Bayim Shemoa, Yishmoa Mitzvotai, Asher Anochi Metzavcha Hayom, Moshe is speaking in first person, isn't he? Okay. So Moshe is saying, if you keep that, then what happens? Then he says, V'natati Metzavchem Bito, I'm going to give rain at the right time. Moshe is not giving the rain. God's giving the rain. So many times in Moshe Rabbeinu speaking, when he says Anochi, he's referring to himself, he's referring to God. So based on the context, you have to figure out what it means. Because Moshe speaks on behalf of God, but several times in Devarim, Moshe speaks on behalf of God, even though he's referring to God himself, even though all through the speech, he's speaking in first person. It happens, doesn't happen that often, but it's quite clear in the context. That's what he's referring to. Moshe doesn't say, I'm going to give you rain, because he's going to die. He's referring to God. Who exactly are the Zkenim? That's a good question, because the first generation of Zkenim, most of them aren't around anymore. They were Zkenim, whoever the people pick. Zkenim are the natural leaders of the tribal clans. There's all through Sefer Yosh, all through Tanakh, there's always Zikne Ha'am who come together, and they ratify when there's a new king, whatever it might be. How they're elected, we don't know, but it seems to be there's a tribal system of family clans, and that's how things work for many times. Okay, and since the first original plan was to go Derech Eretz Plishtim, so that's going to be next week's topic. Okay, what would have happened had the first generation gone in? Would we still gone to Har Ebal and Har Gerizim? Either way, I don't see why not. In other words, there's a need. That's the question. It's the need for Har Gerizim and Har Ebal because it's a new generation. If that's the case, they can do it in Arvot Moav. If the only reason for the new breed is because of a new generation, I don't need to do it now. I could do it now. Why wait till we cross the Jordan River? It's a new generation. The breed for the new generation is going to be Brit Nitzavim. I think that's next week's share. Next week or the week after. There's going to be two Britot at the end of the book. One that's going to be made in Har Ebal with the Tochacha. And Moshe commands him to make that Brit, but he's not going to live to do it. There's another Brit that Moshe makes on Arvot Moav, which is Brit Nitzavim. It's very confusing, but it's important. And we have to see why is one done in Arvot Moav. When we do Brit Nitzavim, we have to see that. And then we'll see why this one's land of Israel. Now, it could be, either way, they would need to have a Brit in Har Ebal, even if it was the first generation. Because either way, it's not because it's closer to Yericho. I could come in from the south, from Eretz Plishtim, and from like the way the Meraglim came in, and do it as well. But the difference is, it could be I need to make a Brit in the land of Israel. I speak as a Zionist. Got it? Either to follow the footsteps of Moshe Rabbeinu, of Avraham Avinu and Yaakov Avinu when they first came into Israel, we're following our forefathers' footsteps, literally speaking. Or it could be that the land of Israel itself needs the Brit because the Brit will be kept there. So we have all the Midrashim. We need to make the Brit in the desert first, to become God's people, and then we get the land. But once we enter the land, it's important to make the Brit again. And therefore, it could be that Brit would have been necessary even for the first generation. Now, the specific commandment as you cross the Jordan, that for sure is for the 40th year. But the law in Devarim to do the bracha and klala on Har Ebal might have been applicable as well to the first generation. Now, we'll see the same thing about Brit Nitzavim, whether it would have happened had not been the first generation as well. Now, what I need to do through the few minutes I have left, I need to explain to you what the word Torah means everywhere else in Chumash and why it's special in Sefer Devarim. Got that? I think I finished the questions. That was the end of part one. Okay. I think that's it. That's good. Now, what I'm going to do now, I'm going to follow the word Torah up until Sefer Devarim. And to your surprise, probably, in Breshit and Shemot, it doesn't happen too often. Does anyone know where we have the word Torah in Sefer Breshit? For the fun of it? Okay. I got everybody stumped. You can't cheat and use your Safari program. Okay. It's only one time, if I'm not mistaken. In the law, in chapter, what's that? Go back to Breshit. And it's a great machloket parshim what it means. But remember when God's telling Yitzchak in the beginning part of Toldot, in chapter 26, There's a famine in the land, remember? And God tells Yitzchak to stay put. Don't go down to Egypt. Remember, Gur Ba'aretz Hazot? I'll be with you. Then he says, what? Ekev Asher Shema from Bakuli. What Ekev here means. It's definitely connected to Parshat Ekev. But not for now. But why is it special? Because what did Avram do? Okay. Avram obeyed me. Shema Bakuli. Ti mitzvotai chukutai betorotai. What did he keep? He kept my mishmeret, my mitzvot, my chukim in Torah. What each word means, that's a whole class in Parshanut. Every Parshan says something different here. What's important for me, though, Torah is not the all-encompassing word. Of course, Rashi will say Torah Tai, Torah Shabbat, and Torah Shabbichtav. The famous Midrash, everyone knows that he kept all the mitzvot. But it's a simple, every other Parshan of Pshat, Ramban, the Fiyab Pshat, Ibn Ezra, Rashbam, say each word here is referring to something specific. What's my mishmeret? Most Parshanim, Sporno, and Ramban say it's following God and doing Tzedek Mishpat. My commandments, like Brit Milah, my Chukim, following them, emulating me, and Torah Tai are my instructions. Which, what's that referring to is the seven Noahite laws. Again, look in the Parshanim. What's important now, because it's one of a list of many different topics, it's not the all-encompassing word for everything. There's Mishmeret, there's Mitzvot, there's Chukim and Torah. It's a specific type of law. What it specifically is referring to, look in your local Parshan. That's it for Sefer Breshit. Go back to my share screen. In Sefer Shmot, anyone know the first time in Sefer Shmot? It has to do with Passover in chapter 12. At the end of chapter 12, there's an extra set of laws about Sot Kukat HaPasach. There's all procedure about how to bring the Korban Pesach. And at the very end, what do we find? It says as follows, Zot Chukat HaPesach. I think I'm in the wrong chapter. No, here we are, yeah. Where's Zot Chukat HaPesach? Pasik Mem. Here it is. Yeah, right here. Pasik Mem Gimel. In chapter Zot Chukat HaPesach, Ben Echar. There's different laws about how to bring Korban Pesach. What do we say at the end?
It's 49.
Yeah. At the end of all these laws about Korban Pesach, Torah achat yel la'ezrach la'ger agar b'tochachem. That doesn't mean our word Torah, does it? It means the same, this, we'll see what it's referring to, but these special laws, these laws of Korban Pesach, how to eat it, what to do with it, where to eat it, how to eat it. See? No matter whether you were born Jewish or you're a stranger and you bring Korban Pesach, if you hear talking about a ger who became Jewish, in fact, to become Jewish, you have to do Korban Pesach as part of becoming Jewish. In fact, even though you weren't born Jewish, you didn't come out of Egypt, you can still bring Korban Pesach once you, first he does Brit Milah, and then he's like in Nisrach, but if you're not circumcised, you can't eat Korban Pesach. And then we summarize and say, the same procedure, the same set of laws applies to the citizen and to the stranger, and to the convert. Got it? And they sort of do as God commanded. One more time in Sefer Dvarim, in Sefer Shmot, I'm sorry, we have the word Torah, which is the famous Ramban, which we'll see hopefully soon, maybe not so famous. When Moshe goes up to Har Sinai in Pasuk Yud Bet, we've seen this Pasuk before, God tells Moshe, come up the mountain and I'll be with you. And be there, I'll give you the Luchot Eben, remember? And the Torah and the Mitzvah, which I'm writing to give you. As I explained, we gave a whole shir on this in the beginning, I think about the first or second shir. The Torah explained is the Chukim Shpatim section, chapters 12 to 26, and the Mitzvah was chapters 6 through 11. I'll show this in a Ramban very soon. That's the only other time we have it in Sefer Shmuel, if I'm not mistaken. And here it's referring to the Torah, whatever it is in Sefer Tzvarim, that's what it means here. That was what I was suggesting, even though, again, there's lots of different opinions in the Parshanim. I think that, in my opinion, that makes the most sense. I'll show you the Ramban very shortly. Now comes the most important time. When you get to the book of Sefer Vayikra, we find it almost everywhere. Not everywhere, but starting in chapter 6 in Parshat Tzav. In Parshat Tzav, what do we find? In the book of Vayikra, in chapter 6. What does it say? God tells Moshe, Tzavet Aron v'benav lemor, Zot Torah to'ola, which is how to bring the Ola sacrifice. If you have a regular tznach, it's even better. In fact, I'm going to switch to a chumash. this would be much better in a, because we'd have to translate all the words. We're going to switch to Chumash with Parshiyot, nice and organized. Look in chapter 6 and 7.
Doesn't the phrase Zotorata Nazir come up in Zotorata Mitzora?
It's going to be, I didn't count, but tens of times we're going to have it in Sefer Vayikra. Zotorata, first we have Zotorata Ola. Zotorat Amincha. See that? Next Parshia. Next paragraph. Zotorat HaChatat. Next chapter, I think. Yeah. Chapter 7. Zotorat should be Yeshlamim. Zotorat HaSham, I'm sorry. Torat HaSham coming up. Then Zotorat Zevach HaShlamim, which you bring. Okay. And when it's over, we have a nice summary. What's it mean? Pasuk Lamed Zayin Zot HaTorah Le'ola Lamidcha L'Chatat V'Lasham V'Lamidlum V'Sedach Shemim. It's quite clear in Sefer Vayikra, starting from Parshat Tzav, the word Torah is explaining this is the procedure for how to offer sacrifices. A specific procedural law, a set of instructions. For example, if you know your jargon, there's a Torah in making cholent, isn't there? There's a Torah in baking. There's a Torah of how to do things. So a Torah in Hebrew, horo'ot, a set of instructions. Procedural law that has a set of instructions how to accomplish something, I want to bring an example of the recipe. I'm saying, let's say there's a Torah in making chocolate chip cookies. I have a recipe card that says chocolate chip cookies, and then I have a procedure that says how much flour, how many eggs, how much sugar, how many, whatever you do, you mix it together, what temperature to bake it at, how to do it. So the Torah, a procedural law always has a conclusion, a goal. For example, let's go to Perek Yud, that's good. Let's say, Baruch Hashem, someone has a baby. Okay? Isha Kitazriya. When it's over, what's it say? There's a whole procedure which she has to do. Zotrata Yoledet. This is the procedure for Yoledet, whether she gives birth to a male or a female child. In the next chapter, what do we have? We have laws about how you become a tzarat, how you contract tzarat. And when it's over, what do we find out? At the end of the chapter, we have a little summary. What's it say? Zotrat Negat Tzarat. Negat Tzemer. Okay. That's the procedure of how you become mitzara, and then there's the procedure of how do you get rid of your tzara. Perak yodalad, zotia toratam tzarab yom taroto. But all these procedural laws all have the word Torah as a set of instructions. Just one line at the end of Perak Tedvav, and there's a lot more. Zot torat azav asher titzim eshek vatzera v'demiyatav azav. Okay, this is the procedure of what makes you azav and how you get rid of the Tumav, Zavar, Zava, all the different, in the laws of ritual purity, we have the word, all these procedural laws, how you contract Tumah and how you get, and how you cleanse yourself from that Tumah. They're all called Torot because they're procedural. And this continues in Sefer Bamidbar, and the laws in Sefer Bamidbar that actually belong in Vayikra. One of the best examples is chapter 5. There's a whole procedure for a Isha Sota. And what's it say there? We're going to run out of time in a minute, so I'll do this quickly. The famous law of Sota, what's it say at the end? And Zot Torah Takna'ot, Asher Isha, etc. And what's it say at the end? V'mid ha'isha lifnei Hashem v'asal la ha'kohen et kol ha'torah zot. Isn't that a procedure? The Kohen does this whole procedure of taking the woman, taking the script, remember, erasing it, putting in the water, making her drink it, bringing the korban, the whole thing. You know, there's a whole procedure of for the procedure of the laws of Sota. In a similar manner, for a Nazir, what happens at the beginning of his Nizirut, at the end of his Nizirut, when it's all over, what's it say? It should say, Zot Torat, a Nazir, Asher Yidor Korban al Hashem, Asher Yisrael. Here's the procedure he has to do. When he has to shave, how long he has to be there for. Again, if I want to summarize it, all these procedural laws are called Torah. Now I want to make my key point and hope it's clear. In Breshit, it's unclear what it means, but it's some specific type of instruction. In Zot Chukat HaPasach, it's just like in Vayikra, it's a procedure of bringing a korban, a procedural law of how to accomplish something, how to accomplish a korban, like the same thing in Vayikra. In Vayikra, Parsha Vayikra tells you what korban the individual needs to bring. Parsha Tzav tells the Kohanim how to bring the korban. And therefore, when the Kohanim need to know how to bring it, that's going to be a Torah of how to get something done. The Kohen needs to know how someone becomes Tzarat and how he gets rid of the Tzarat. How to perform all those procedures. If the Torah is a procedural law, I want to make my key point now. Why are the laws of Sefer Devarim called a Torah? Remember how over and over again I showed you how these laws reflect the covenant we made at Har Sinai? Let's go back to the beginning of the speech and just make sure it's crystal clear. Go back to Devarim. Remember in chapter 5 how the speech began? Moshe tells the people to pay attention. Remember Shema Yisrael to Chukim Atam Mishpatim. And what's the framework? Hashem Elokeinu Kratim Anubrit Bochorev. We made a covenant at Har Sinai to be his nation, to follow him, to follow his ways, to keep his covenant, to follow his laws, and to obey him. And God took upon himself will be his skula and the mamlechet koni v'goy kadosh. Now, the goal is to be a mamlechet koni v'goy kadosh. What's the last lines of the book? Remember? They'll put you in a leadership position above the nations, the titchayon, the tilal shem utiferet. Now, that's the goal. How do you achieve that goal? There's a Torah, there's a procedure. Maybe I'm taking the word out of, in a wider context. What I want to claim is, by calling all the laws of Sefer Devarim a Torah, I'm basically saying they're a procedure in order to become a Goy Kadosh or an Am Kadosh. And that's why I made the big deal about Hayom Atzen Deite Lam. My goal, just like Lahavdil, my goal is to make chocolate chip cookies. There's a procedure how to make it. My goal is to bring a korban olah proper, a korban chatat properly, or take care of a nazir or a mitzorah. There's a procedure to how to get it done. There's a procedure of establishing a mamlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh. By calling all the laws of Torah, it's taking all the individual laws and focusing that they have a common goal. There's an ultimate goal behind them. And that's the famous Ramban about doing Hayashar Ben Hashem, which, and maybe we have to see that, I think, next week. The idea is that when you have a bunch of laws, I can look at each law individually, but when you're keeping a whole bunch of laws, it's always important to keep the ultimate goal in the background. Now, it's not to say, I'll be a good person. You need tons of rituals. You need tons of lines, laws and guidelines. You need a law code. But as you're keeping the technical laws of the law code, you always have to keep in mind that they have an ultimate goal. The goal is to be this mamlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh. That's why I made such a big deal about the opening line of the speech and the closing lines of the speech. The opening line of the speech, God made a brit with you at Har Sinai. And then we quote the terms of those 10 commandments. Speech is over. We go back to the theme of the brit at Har Sinai. The laws in between, the attitude laws, the mitzvah section, and the chukim shpatim section, laws that guide our national behavior, our national center, and our national holidays, and our judicial system, and our Supreme Court, and how we go to war, and who goes to war, and our social justice system, and our shmita, and our economic system. All those laws are laws about family, about marriage and divorce and things like that. And especially about making sure that laws are, that our court system is just and upright. And we care about everyone in society, and we have our educator system, the Kohanim and Levim, etc. All that together, if it's kept properly, they're all part of a overall procedure to make us Goy Kadosh. And by calling the laws of Sefer Devarim Torah, it's making sure that when you keep all the technical sides and the details, they all fit into one big picture. They're towards the goal. In that sense, they're a procedure. So that's my insight of why it's meaningful that the laws in Devarim are called a Torah. Once Chumash uses the word Torah to describe, instead of a technical set of instructions like it is in Vayikra and Bamidbar, once Sefer then takes that same word and uses it for all the laws in Sefer Devarim, it's telling you that when I keep a bunch of technical laws that seem to be separate, the fact that they have one goal and they have one common goal and you have to keep that goal in mind as you're keeping all those laws to make sure everything's in balance. Once Sefer Dvarim calls all its laws in Dvarim a Torah, it's meaningful that Chumash or the Chazal use the same word Torah for all five books of Moses. And for all, not only Torah Shavita, but its interpretation of Torah Shavapa. So by calling Torah, Torah, it's basically reminding us that even though we're keeping, you know, a lot of detailed laws, a lot of laws that seem to be separate from one another, they have one ultimate goal, and therefore the word Torah goes back to the theme of our Sinai, Batem Tilim Amnechet Koni Duhay Kadosh, Haryom Azen Yete La'am La'Shem Elokecha. Knowing your nation separated by God, given a special job to do, a responsibility to do, making sure that whenever you keep laws, even though they're wide range that cover every different walk of life, always making sure that those laws are always in sync with the goal of Matan Torah. I think that's important in the word Torah, and that's why I want to share with you the meaning of the word Torah. So when we use the word Torah, even though technically it might not be exactly what Chumash is referring to in Torah, by our calling Torah, Torah Shebichah, Torah Shebet, Torah, I think it's super meaningful and right on the mark. I think it relates to what we talked about, the word halakha as well. Remember, we're walking with God, v'alachta bidrachav. So how to apply the Torah to any given situation is called halakha, because we're walking with God, v'alachta bidrachav, which is a big theme in Sefer Devarim. But the overall word Torah, that all these laws come and have the same goal, that's what I want to share with you for the reason. Again, I'm not sure if that's right, but the technical side of the share, I tried to prove to you that there's no doubt Devarim calls the word Torah, and Devarim is referring to the main speech and all the laws in the main speech. And Chazal taking that word in its wider context, I think is right on the mark. Okay, if there's any other questions, I don't see anything else in the chat, but let me check real fast. I'll check the chat. Oh, two more in the chat. Vayikra is Torah Kohanim. Very good. There's procedures for Kohanim. And that's the question. Torah Kohanim, is that Kohanim meaning just the priest in the temple or Kohanim, Mamlechet Kohanim? So Kedoshim Tiyu is Torah Kohanim for a Mamlechet Kohanim. So remember, Kohen is someone in the service of God. The Kohanim Torah team is right on the mark. And Sefer HaTorah, so the Torah, that's the Moshe gave, again, the word Torah means an instruction, a set of instructions. HaTorah is the instruction booklet, which Sefer Dvarim is referring to. But again, Emshat Zot HaTorah is referring to the laws, the main speech of Sefer Dvarim that's written on Har Eival. The word Torah can mean a lot of things later on in the Tanakh, but it's anything procedural. We have to also do a share on Parshat Chukat. What's Chukat Torah? That's too complicated for today. Anyway, I have to finish now because I get going. If any real important questions, let me know. 1 second. Okay. Anyway, I have to end now. So thank you so much for listening. Next week, I think it's Britney Tzavim, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, the next simple laws will relate to Elo and Rosh Hashanah davening, etc. But today was going back to the white theme. Next week, we have to see the Brit of Mitzavim. What's that doing there? And I'll dedicate the first couple of minutes next week to talk about the Mizbech they found in Har Eival, since you picture of it and the history of it. Because this Mizbech that they actually built, and we'll read about it in Sefer Yeshua when they did it, and how they found it, and why they're almost sure that it's the they have the right identification for it. Okay. So take care, Rabbi.
Okay.
Have a good week.
Thank you very much. Okay. I don't know. Danny Sperber's comment on Al Pi Hashem Biyad Moshe. Bezot HaTorah Asher Sam Moshe. You said, of course, that we continue Al Pi Hashem. He said that was a polemic against the Christians. They claimed, a new Torah. So we wanted to emphasize when we lift Torah, Al Pi Hashem Biyad Moshe, because it's problematic. Al Pi Hashem Biyad Moshe is only half a pasuk. And how do we quote half a pasuk? So he said that was instituted for polemic reasons. Anyways, that's one of his articles in Minhagei Yisrael.
So it fits nicely. It's like definitely not part of the pasuk. Yeah.
In other words, what you're doing there. And
because of that custom, everyone thinks that the Torah means, in Tach means all five books of Moses, but it doesn't mean that in Chumash.
I have to reread the article if he quotes maybe that custom didn't, in certain Islamic countries, they didn't have that custom because it wasn't necessary. One of his articles in Minhagei Israel, you know, that adding Al Pi Hashem, it should really see, Bezot HaTorah, Shem Moshe, Al Pi Hashem, Yom Moshe is added. Anyways, I figured I would throw that in at the end. So thank you. Okay, we'll see you next week. Next week will be in a lunch food, I presume.
Emir Hashem, yeah.
Okay, please God. Yes. And then tomorrow, 11 a.m., Daniel Reinhold, Professor Daniel Reinhold on Tshuva and the Metaphysics of Time. At 1 p.m., Rebecca Winter will be speaking on Menashe, True Repentance or Self-Preservations, Tanakh, Tshuva Stories in Tanakh. And then tomorrow night, Mark Shapiro on, part three on his ongoing series on Shaul Lieberman, Great Rabbinic Figures. And then all our regular classes during the week, lots to keep you busy. Please invite a friend. That's your job. We don't charge for these classes. Donations are always welcome and they are needed. And we're coming up to Rosh Hashanah. I think it's a good time to think about that. But what we would like you to do for sure, in addition, is invite a friend, invite one friend. It makes a huge difference. I know there are lots of people here who got here because somebody mentioned it to them. That's their best form of advertising. So that I'd ask you to do. Invite there so many different shirim and different types of speakers that I think there's something for almost everybody. And we look forward to learning with you and your friends and your even people you don't like, you can invite them. The Torah says when you see the donkey of your enemy, the people you don't like, you have to help them. So even people you don't like, maybe send them an invitation. That, of course, is a way to get to like them. If you help to load the, and that's the whole point, why the Torah always says, I spoke about that yesterday when I spoke with you, Mincha Mar, right? The Torah always puts mitzvot where you least expect them. Like, you have to do burial. That's how we got onto it. You have to bury, it's the murderer, the mitzvah. Burial is said by someone who's put to death by the Beit Din, because the Torah wants to emphasize mitzvot where you would least think you have to do them. So you have a lot, many, many, many examples of the Torah. So one of them is to help your enemy. Anyway, invite your friends, your enemies, come yourself, and we look forward to seeing you. And please God, we'll see you tomorrow at 11 a.m. and then 1 p.m. and 8:30 p.m. Okay, have a wonderful day. Shavuot Tov, everybody. Be well. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.